When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Everybody, welcome to this is Vance, and we're this is Prog World with Vance, and I have in studio MGMT, and they have a new record out called Little Dark Age, and it's pretty clear that you guys have some there's a prog influence in the music of MGMT. I would like you to expound on that, please.
Oh, you can say that again.
So, Ben, please tell me about your earliest progressive rock experience.
Well, the first rock concert I ever went to was Adrian Belew, who was the singer of King Crimson. I don't need to tell you this.
I believe it'd be King Crimson. That's for the it's for Discipline and Beat and
exactly.
Three of a Perfect Pair.
Exactly.
And he did come back for Thrack in the 90s for the double trio lineup. So you saw Adrian Belew in concert, and what was that like?
It was great.
Like
it,
what?
It was. I was. You know. I think it was like a real. It was a real seminal moment for, you know, my budding musical career.
Because you had been listening to what kind of music before that?
I think I was taking jazz piano lessons.
And so then you heard that, and then is that when you decided you wanted to play more rock-based music than jazz-based?
Yeah, but with, you know, incorporating influences from classical and jazz and, you know... You know, like a futuristic, you know, blend of all of those influences.
Sure. And what was the first prog rock album that you purchased?
It was Discipline by King Crimson.
Yes, which is the classic reestablishing of King Crimson in the 80s. Everybody knows the lineup with Adrian Belew and Robert Fripp and Tony Levin playing the Chapman stick and the traditional four-string bass.
You know, Bill Bruford was not allowed to play cymbals on that record.
That was the record where Robert Fripp did say there would be no cymbals on the record. And it was the double guitar. And if you notice Robert Fripp's playing, he readjusts his playing to be complementary to Adrian Belew's playing, which was not always where he was at. So that was the first prog rock album. Now, Andrew, are you a fan of prog rock?
Somewhat, a little. Ben and I would listen to prog rock in college a little bit.
Like, what would you listen to?
Well, along with King Crimson, I don't know. Can you consider Jeff Beck to be progressive?
I think there's elements of it. He's breaking away from the blues-based structure of things that was a part of him being in the Yardbirds, and starting to spread out on records like Beck's Bolero and.
We liked Wired. That was a big one for us.
I think there's elements because it's definitely starting to shed the, like I said, the blues foundation.
Yeah.
I do want to mention that I saw King Crimson back on November of 2015, November 15th of 2017 at the Capitol Theater in Port Chester. And this is my show review for it. It was an outstanding show. They opened with Lark's Tongues and Aspic Part 1. Then they went into Neurotica, which is an adjusted version, because, as you know, Adrian Belew is not in the current band, so they do a more melodic version going against Belew's more jarring, angular, Talking Heads influence. Circus, they did Lizard. Construction of Light, only Part 1, Epitaph. Then they did one of the newer pieces, Radical Action, to unseat the hold of the monkey mind. Then They did the Errors, then Lark's Tongues and Asslet Part 2, Islands, and they ended with Indiscipline again. Band that you'll know is one of the pieces from Discipline. But in a restructured form.
It's a really good memory of a set list.
Sounds like a good show.
And that was then there was an intermission for 15 minutes. Will, from MGMT. Yes. But you also play with other people as well. Who's the most progressive artist you've performed with?
That would probably be Craig Finn.
From the Hold Steady.
Yeah, his solo stuff is very deep prog.
In what vein? Who would you say it brings to mind most?
You know, like the McDonald and Giles.
Sure, the Frip album. McDonald and Giles, the early lineup when he was.
It's a big
pre-Crimson.
It's almost like Craig's just taken a page from that.
When I listen, yes. So that's the most progressive artist you've performed. What's the first progressive rock album you purchased?
Siamese Dream.
That's by the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, is that?
I would say that doesn't exactly qualify as prog rock in the pure form, but maybe in its attempt at being expansive, it does.
Oh, okay.
Now, what is the most prog song that MGMT has done?
Metanoia?
Yeah.
Metanoia, which is a 10-inch, one-sided record.
Yeah, that's
right. A limited release.
Mm-hmm. Carl Jung on the cover.
Carl Jung on the cover. Mm-hmm. That's wearing a referee's outfit.
Yeah.
And let me just also say that after the 15-minute intermission, King Crimson came back on stage and played Hellhounds of Crim into Discipline. They did Breathless. Then, of course, Starless, which is the classic song from the Red album. Moonchild from the first album in the Court of the King Crimson King, followed by the title track of that album. Then Easy Money, also from Red. No, that's from Lark's Tongues and Aspic. Then Radical Action 2, Level 5, and for Encore, they did Heroes, the David Bowie cover, and then ended with 21st Century Schizoid Man. And how much of an influence did you say on this most recent album, Little Dark Age, someone like Kevin Ayers, with his sort of structured British pop prog is on the album?
I think that definitely on a song on like When You Die, we were thinking of Kevin Ayers a bit on the chorus of that song, and maybe even like When You're Small, like a little kind of feel. I don't know. What do you think?
It reminds me of Joy of a Toy to some degree.
Mm-hmm. I hear that. Where are you at on Bill Nelson Bebop Deluxe?
I find myself admiring his technique, but I find that sometimes his music is trapped. It's neither here nor there, if that makes sense.
What about Aphrodite's Child?
That's the band that everyone knows, Vangelis' band, with the keyboardist, and it was a successful Greek trio. I'm a huge fan of them, especially their final album is a psych prog masterpiece, some would say, including myself. So, if you were to put together a prog rock super group, who would be in the group? Everybody names a member.
I would want Tim Coe to play bass.
Who's Tim Coe?
He played bass with Ariel Pink for a while, but he's really adept at going all over the place. And, you know, good with very strange changes and stuff like that.
You know, you could put Tony Levin on bass as
maybe
well.
Tony Levin, yes.
You don't have to have Tim Coe as the bass player. For
that's
your,
a cheap shot.
For your prog rock super group. No offense to Tim Coe, but I don't know if he plays a Chapman stick.
No, I haven't seen him play a Chapman stick.
Who else would be in the group?
Who's the guy who played the like rattling chains on Lark's Tongues and Aspic?
What's David Croft.
Wasn't that
not
was
the comedian David
player.
Croft. No, David Croft, yes,
he
it was
the
percussionist.
The,
you're right.
It was,
my
what was his name? I don't remember. That guy.
Yes.
He should be in it?
Yeah.
If you watch the video of the German television performance, he's the guy throwing leaves.
Mm-hmm.
While Bill Bruford is wearing a Boston Bruins jersey because the hockey team has the same initials as him, so he took to wearing Boston Bruins gear. The Boston Brufords. Will, who would be in your prog rock super group? Guitarist. Let's think along the lines of guitarist. Steve Howe.
My prog rock. My encyclopedic knowledge of prog rock.
That's okay. Never mind. Ben, who would be the guitarist in your prog rock super group? You might say Adrian Blue because it was in your formative years. But that you don't have to say Adrian Blue.
Oh, the dude from Porcupine Tree.
Stephen Wilson.
Yeah, Stephen Wilson.
Where does Bill Laswell fit into all this?
Bill Laswell, I think, is more art rock.
Okay.
And New York in experimental.
Gotcha.
Although when you think about it, Robert Fripp, after he left King Crimson, moved to New York and produced records by Daryl Hall and the Roaches.
Yeah, I love the Roaches stuff that he did.
And he was one of the first people from the progressive rock, if not the first person to defend disco as a cultural movement as well, and played guitar on David Bowie's Heroes and Scary Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Very mm-hmm. influential. Simon, who would be in your prog rock supergroup?
Bazio.
Bazio. Who's
Hell
Bazio?
Yeah.
Terry Bazio.
Oh, Terry Bazio. From Frank Zappa's band.
Yeah, and Missing
Persons. Missing
Persons. Yeah.
His wife, Dale Bazio, was the lead singer.
Yes.
So you'd put him in.
Put him on the drums.
What about Warren Cucurillo, who went on later to play with Duran Duran and helped write their song, their comeback hit, Ordinary World.
Oh, he played the guitar solo on Ordinary World, right?
Yes, he co-wrote
this.
Really?
I was just talking about this guy with Ilya. Oh but isn't he, he's kind of like InfoWars-y now, I think.
I don't know. I tend not to pay attention to the political side of prog rock. That's the beauty of it. When you're singing about Wizard, you don't have to think about the real world, which is nice.